Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. Our friend, bankruptcy attorney Peter Daigle, is joining us again today, and we're going to get into a lot of how to prepare for bankruptcy, but a lot of Chapter 13, and going to sprinkle in a little bit of Chapter 11. Peter, thank you so much for joining us again on This Needs to Be Said. How are you?
Oh, great, Catherine. Thanks for asking. Looking forward to today.
Awesome. Now, we've talked a great deal about, you know, what bankruptcy is and what goes in it and you know, how to get over our nerves and the emotional part of talking to an attorney like yourself. But once we've decided that's what we're going to do, we've decided we're going to go ahead with bankruptcy, our attorney has told us that's the best option, how do we get together? And I'm sure there's a checklist out there, but still I would like to have this conversation with you. How do I get ready?
Sure. This is a really good question. So everything that you'll need to prepare for the case are things that are written down in the bankruptcy code. So these aren't things that are discretionary, but are things that are required that you produce as part of the filing. And so when the items that I'm going to list for you are gathered up, they're sent to the bankruptcy trustee prior to meeting with him or her, and so that they can assure that that everything that you've submitted is in order. So, for example, one of the requirements of the bankruptcy, whether both be Chapter 7 or Chapter 13, is that you produce tax returns. At least for the last year for a tax return. We like to see the last couple of years to see if you have sold anything or transferred something that may have triggered a transfer that could be problematic in the bankruptcy, but essentially the reason why they're looking for your tax return is to see if you have sold anything for capital gains or you've have any interest on accounts that may not have been disclosed in your petition. So your tax return is required. Also, your pay stubs are required, and the reason why your pay stubs are required is they want to make sure that you're in the right bankruptcy. If you're making over the median income, then the Chapter 13 would be more appropriate than Chapter 7. And so the trustee is going to look at those pay stubs to see that, in fact, you're below the median income. The next thing that you're going to be required to produce is some evidence of your home value as well as a copy of your mortgage statement. And we generally submit using Zillow, which is a website that anybody can obtain the value of their house on for free, or if you have a broker's opinion or an appraisal. But generally the easiest way to do it is using Zillow, and also a copy of your mortgage statement. And again, the reason is that the trustee wants to see how much equity that you have in your home. And if you have equity in your home, then in fact a homestead has been filed to protect that equity. So that's the reason why the value would be required. The next thing that the trustee would look for is a copy of any divorce agreement that you might have if you were had been divorced, and to see whether or not you're entitled to any property. Sometime down the road, a common example is that the house will be sold when the youngest child turns 18, and then the money from the house would be split. And so if you have that type of arrangement in a divorce, then that would be a consideration of the bankruptcy. Copies of pension, 401k, IRA accounts to make sure that the money was put away properly. That's an exemption in bankruptcy. They're protected. A lot of folks have annuities, though, that they've purchased over the years, and they think that they're there for the retirement, but in fact they're not ERISA-qualified retirement plans. They're just annuities that they've purchased. And so that's an example of something that would not be exempt from bankruptcy. So we ask for copies, and the trustee would ask for copies of your retirement accounts and investments or security accounts that you have to review them to make sure that they're protected. The next thing that you'd have to require is to show the value of your automobile and the amount that you owe on it to make sure that that's within the exemption. So those are sort of the essentials that you'd need in preparation. And whether it be a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13, those are the requirements. And if you have a small business, then you'd be submitting a profit and loss on that business also. And then once we receive the documents, a lawyer attorney would receive them, he'd prepare all the bankruptcy schedules and petition, and then send those documents, copies of them, to the trustee to review within a week before your meeting with them. So that's about it.
So the most surprising thing for me, and this was an annuity, is something that would not be protected in the bankruptcy. I wonder why is that. Can you tell me?
So, yeah, and so what the general thought is that if you have an asset that could be sold to pay your creditors, then you just sell the asset. Okay. Now, the obvious things that you'd have are, you know, a luxury car or a boat or a motorhome or a second home or something like that that you don't need to exist. Retirement accounts are protected because they figure everybody's going to need a retirement account at some point down the road. But if you received an inheritance or settled from a personal injury claim or you just made money and you put it away in an annuity, that's something that could be sold or liquidated to pay your creditors. So it's not protected from the bankruptcy unless it was put in through an IRA or some other type of what we call, it's called the ERISA-qualified plan, where you have a retirement account that the annuity was purchased from. So if it was purchased as part of a retirement account and put away that way, then it would be protected. But if it's just bought based upon monies that you had received from another source, it would not be protected. So these are the types of things that we would ask, or your attorney would ask, with the filing of the case of whether or not you have an investment like this or not.
Okay. Now, we talked about the personal, and I know you talked about if we have a small business, that would be considered mm-hmm. too. So that
yes.
spills over into Chapter 11?
Right. Mm-hmm. So in a Chapter 11, what you're really looking to do is see whether or not the corporation is viable or not, okay? And so what that means is that you're going to have to demonstrate at some point that whatever you're proposing to your creditors in terms of your plan goes, it would be approved, and so that your business will exit the Chapter 11 successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're going to be providing is evidence of valuation of what your business has, whether it be a profit loss or a budget going forward, or something to demonstrate that this corporation is going to make it, and so that creditors as well as the United States trustee can look at this and say, okay, this business is going to make it, and this is a good plan. And so this is basically full disclosure when you're preparing and going through those, because the creditors have to sign off on the plan, and they're going to want to know that this is in the best interest of them versus the filing of a Chapter 7 and liquidating the company. So if they liquidated the company, they would get less than they would, through a Chapter 11. And so you're encouraging them to hold on and to take less of a dividend, so the company survives. I mean, more of a dividend they would get with a Chapter 7, and the company survives, and then they'll continue to do business with them down the road versus just being out of business. Without giving all the specifics, it's really just the financial information to show that this is going to work, and that's the reason behind 11.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is save the other question I wanted to ask you during this interview is what to do after bankruptcy, after we do these things, especially after Chapter 11, because I do have a lot more questions about that one. Once you've had to get your creditors to agree to this plan, you know, like, do you continue business? How can you confidently continue business? So I got a few more questions, but I know our time is up here. So thank you again for coming on. This Needs to Be Said. But before you go, Peter, tell people how to get in touch with you.
Sure. Thank you, Catherine. Sure. Obviously, any type of email or phone call, I'm happy to give you a free consultation for any specific question that you have pertaining to your case. So you can reach me at 508-771-7444, 508-771-7444, or through my website would be the next way to go, would be Daigle Law Office, daiglelawoffice.com. If you go onto the website, you can reach me by email, you can do an inquiry, you can do a live chat. There's lots of ways that we allow you to connect with us. So thank you for allowing me to give that information.
Awesome. So next time we'll do a follow-up to this interview. But I want to say thank you, and until next time, have a good day.
Catherine. Bye-bye now.
Bye.